Well, good evening. It is great to be back with you this evening. Thank you for choosing to be here this evening. I would invite you this evening to, maybe if that page stops coming out, open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1 or chapter 2. Nope, I was wrong. I was right the first time. 2 Peter chapter 1. Tonight, we get to close out looking at being an ambassador, a representative of Jesus. We have been each week in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, there about verse 20, looking at the fact that we are ambassadors. We are representatives of Jesus. And when we think about being that ambassador, that representative of His, then we make sure that just like we have ambassadors that are all over the world that represent the United States, and they hold to our values and they hold to our laws and things, and they're respectful for where they are at, but at the same time, as representatives of Jesus, we're not going to conform to man's law if it goes against what God's law has to say. Instead, we make sure that we represent Jesus, and we represent Him in demonstrating love, and we demonstrate those godly characteristics that we are commanded to. And here in 2 Peter chapter 1, look with me beginning in verse number 12. Notice what Peter writes. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I'm in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. So after my departure, after my body dies and my spirit goes back to God, I want you to understand the way that you are supposed to live. Tonight, brethren, I want to look at my relationship and my responsibility to my fellow ambassadors. Peter writes to the church and he's telling them, I'm going to stir you up by way of reminder. Meaning, I'm going, this word is to agitate. It is to make sure that you understand that there's something serious that I'm going to be talking to you about. Something that you need to take seriously as I write to you this last letter, knowing that while I'm in this tent, or as long as my life is here, I'm going to stir you up. I'm going to remind you. I'm going to not be negligent. Instead, I'm not going to forget to show you what it is to truly love you, what it is to remind you of the ways that we are supposed to live, knowing verse 4, he says, shortly I'm going to leave this life just as Jesus also told me. And you can go back to the book of John and we can look at how Jesus three times asked Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, you know that I love you. And he tells him that there's going to come a time when you were younger, you girded yourself, you went wherever you wanted. But when you get older, meaning when your life is coming to an end, the way that your life is going to end is they're going to gird you and they're going to take you where you do not wish to go. And Peter, according to secular history, would be crucified on a cross upside down, because he did not see that he was fit to be crucified in the same manner as his Lord and Savior. When we think about being faithful to the end, I look at these words, because what Peter says is, while I'm alive, I'm not going to be negligent to tell you the way that you need to be living, the things that you need to know, to ensure that you always have a reminder after these things, even after my decease or my departure, my death. I want you to know these things. And so, brethren, with that thought in mind, we look tonight at our responsibility to one another. If you turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, we look at a responsibility that you and I have, an attitude that we are to have, a lifestyle that we are to live in respect to one another, in regard to one another. Here in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. You know, I think about this stirring up and agitating. And when Paul writes this letter to the church at Philippi from a Roman prison, in bonds, in chains, and you think about the fact that he is reaching out here to the church and he says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. Fulfill my joy by having the same love. Fulfill my joy being of one accord. Fulfill my joy being of one mind. He's in a Roman prison. This book of Philippians is the most joyous letter. Rejoicing, that word joy is the key word throughout this book. And you think about this joyous letter that he writes. Fulfill my joy. While I'm in prison, fulfill my joy not being contentious with one another. You be of one mind. In fact, let nothing be done through selfish ambition, but rather in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself. I don't need to look out for what's important to me. I need to think about my brethren. I need to think about what you have going on in your life and be excited for you. You know, this weekend's opening weekend of deer season. And I will tell you that I've enjoyed watching and looking at pictures, especially of kids. You can't mistake the joy on their face with a big smile. I don't care what, if it was a huge buck, little buck, a doe, doesn't make any difference. That look of joy upon their face is something that should bring a smile to our face every time. I think about our relationships that we have with one another. Man, I hope when something goes well for one of our brethren, it causes us to put a smile on our face and congratulate them and be excited and be happy for them and rejoice with them. You know, I'm reminded of places like Luke chapter 15, and you think about those parables that Jesus gives. You have the parable of the lost sheep. When that shepherd found his sheep, what did he call his neighbors to do? Hey, come rejoice with me. The sheep that I lost, guess what? I found it. Come and celebrate with me. Come be excited and happy with me. How about the woman who lost the coin? And she moves everything in the house and she sweeps out every single corner of that house and she finds it. And guess what? I can't wait to celebrate with my neighbors. Come and, you know what I lost? Come and rejoice with me and be excited with me. Anything about that lost son? Well, I'm telling you, that dude had to spend some time in a pig pen and eat the pods that the pigs ate and think, oh, I need to come to my senses. My dad's servants eat so much better than me. He takes care of them. I'll go back and I'm going to tell him I'll be like them. And that dad's watching, isn't he? And he sees his son afar off and makes a beeline to him, grabs him and wraps him up, and he kisses him and he hugs him. My son was dead and was alive again. And what does he do? He rejoices and he kills the fatted calf and he has everybody come, all the servants and everybody. And they're excited and they're happy, except for his big brother. That big brother comes and you couldn't even so much as give me a kid, a baby, from a lamb or a goat, and have me be able to celebrate with my friends. And this guy who wastes everything has lived prodigally, wastefully, spent all your hard-earned money, Dad. He spent it. How awful is he? Did he esteem others better than himself? No, he sure didn't. He didn't look for the way to be able to be happy and be excited. You understand that father said he's dead and now he's alive again? Spiritually, he was dead and now he's alive again. When I was a kid, I'll never forget, there was a gentleman that he had sinned and he had walked away from God. And everybody knew it. It was a sin that was very, very visual. Everybody knew what happened. Everybody knew what he did. And he finally came to his senses. And he walked forward. Everybody was, I mean, he walked into churches. You could cut the into services that night, into the building. And I remember that night you could cut the tension with a knife. And there was a night that I don't know that I'll ever forget. And I was a young boy. But that guy walked forward before anything else happened. And he walked to the front. And everybody's just kind of standing there. And they're looking. They're unsure of what to do. What are we doing? Why did he walk to the front? Why is he sitting on the front pew? And finally, the preacher walked up there and he said, what do we got going on? And he said, I have messed up and I've been living in sin and I want no longer to be outside of Christ. And there wasn't a dry eye in the place that evening. But when we left, a man that I know very, very well made the comment, before I forgive him, he's going to have to prove something to me. Brethren, he walked forward. He asked God to forgive him. We don't get to judge sincerity. We are to be lowly and humble. And we forgive the same way that God has forgiven us. When we think about our relationship to our brethren, our fellow ambassadors, we need to be those that are looking for ways to build one another up and encourage one another, to make each other stronger, not wait for somebody to prove something. They're going to do that in their actions. You know what? That guy is a faithful member of the Lord's body to this day. We never should have that attitude. Instead, we need to have that attitude of that father. Run, hug, embrace, kiss, forgive, and do everything to celebrate with our brethren. You know, I wish, and we've seen it happen. Don't misunderstand me. You have somebody who repents and they make things right in their life, and what happens? Well, I'm gonna just use you for a second. That hug that I got to give you was one of the greatest hugs I've ever got to give anybody. Those are the things that we need to be looking for opportunities to do and to give. Man, I'm so thankful that we have this relationship here that gets to be one of love and encouragement, because it's going to go on to heaven and last for all eternity. That's all we want, is to be able to have a relationship like that that lasts for all eternity. That's all we want. Listen, I don't need stuff. I don't need to look out for my own interests. Look at verse number 4 there, Philippians 2. Don't look out for your own interests, but instead look out for the interests of other people. And it doesn't matter that it's a physical thing. What we need to be looking out for is their spiritual well-being and their spiritual welfare, so we can make them better and stronger. And guess what it does for us? As the body of Christ, it makes us better and stronger, because that's what we're looking for ways to be. Better and stronger. My fellow ambassadors, we need to be those that are building each other up. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 for just a second. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse number 11. When we think about walking here in unity, and you think about that God is the one who puts everybody in places He would have them to be. And you can go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and be able to look at how God, beginning there in verse 12, has put everybody into the body. We may not all have the same jobs and responsibility. Look here, verse 11. He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You understand? That is the accumulation of all our efforts, is that we are one unified body, that we edify, we build each other up in love. That's that culmination of all the effort that we put into it. Notice there that every joint supplies, the effective working, every part doing its share in verse number 16 means I've got to pull my weight because I don't want to let you down. Our kids, I love to go watch our kids play sports. I grew up playing sports. And what happens if I don't do my best? Well, I let my team down. What happens if I don't live my best for Christ every day? I let you down. I let my brethren down. I need to make sure that I'm carrying my weight, that I'm doing my share, that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I carry forth that responsibility. You see, look with me at Acts 2. And we see when the church gets started, what takes place and what happens. And if we, like Paul said here, every part does its part. Everybody does their part and carries their weight. Boy, the body is built up and it grows to be stronger and stronger. We're going to begin in verse 40 of Acts chapter 2. And you think about this day of Pentecost. Peter preaches this first sermon. They've asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter has told them there in verse 38 to repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And that's how you receive that forgiveness of sins. But beginning in verse 40, with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Do you see verse 40? With many other words. I think about this with where we started in 2 Peter chapter 1 and that stirring up, that reminder that he gives. I think oftentimes verse 40 is one that gets neglected on that day of Pentecost. You see, in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, beginning there in verse 18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Jesus said, go into all the world, make disciples of all men, or all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So my responsibility is to teach, baptize, teach. That's the Great Commission. You teach them what they have to do. Convict them of sin. Teach them what they are to do to be saved from their sin. When they understand that, you continue to teach them then what their life is to look like and how they are supposed to continue on following those commandments that Jesus has given. When we think about the responsibility that we have, notice here Peter has told them what they had to do in order to be saved. And then he continued to teach them. He followed every day in the apostles' doctrine, their teaching. As they taught the gospel, they continued to teach then what their life was supposed to look like and the expectation of that. And notice what takes place. What they do. They had all things in common, verse 44. They sell their possessions and their goods in verse 45. And they divide those up as anybody has need. You see, they're looking out for the interest of others rather than themselves. You can look at the end of chapter 4 and you see a man by the name of Barnabas, son of encouragement, who has a piece of land in Cyprus. He sells it, brings the proceeds, lays them at the apostles' feet. What does he want? All I want is the best for my brethren. That's all I want, the best for my brethren. This is all they wanted for one another. Daily, every day, with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. All I want is the best for my brethren. I don't need stuff. All I want is the best for them. And everything that we have, all that we do, we need to make sure we're looking out for one another. We have a responsibility to one another. Look with me at Jude. And we see a part of this responsibility. that we are to have. There's only one chapter in Jude. Verse 3 is probably the main verse a lot of times that we go to. So you look at that verse here in Jude, verse 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Now, go down to verse number 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and on some having compassion, making a distinction, but on others with fear, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments defiled by the flesh. We are to contend for our faith. That is a commonality that we have. I wonder, right, concerning our common salvation. That's a pretty great thing, right? A common salvation, to be able to go to heaven. But I'm going to write to you to contend earnestly for the faith, the system of faith that was once for all delivered. While you're contending earnestly for that, build yourselves up. You exhort one another on that most holy faith. Remember what you have in common. That faith that we have in common. Keep yourselves in the love of God. And you have anybody that starts to wander away, you get them pulled back in. You do everything in your power to make that happen. Pulling them out of the fire. Hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. We need to make sure that we understand the reverence we are to have for God. But also the fear of not doing His will, what happens? Helping others to see that in us, looking out for our fellow ambassadors every day. You see, we have a responsibility to one another. We can look at places like Galatians chapter 6, there in verses 1 and 2, and we see that we are to bear one another's burden. If one strays from the faith, you who are faithful, meaning I've got to make sure that I'm mindful of myself, making sure that I'm strong enough to be able to pull them back in and not be tempted myself, not fall away with them. But I get to bear one another's burden. I get to help one another. I get to be there for my brethren. I get to pray for them. As James tells us in James 5 and verse 16, I get to make sure that I do all in my power to be there for them. And James finishes the same way. If you look at James chapter 5 and verse 19, James finishes out his, what we call probably the Gospel of Common Sense, his book, by saying this: Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, that's verse 19. Verse 20 says, Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. To save his soul is all that we should be looking to do. To make sure that we are there for one another, understanding the responsibility that we have to one another, building one another up, making one another stronger. We get to edify each other. We get to build each other up. We get to be there for one another. You see, we have to understand that as fellow ambassadors of Christ, that we aren't just out looking for souls to save, because while that is a responsibility that we have, in Luke 19 and verse 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost, we also have a responsibility to one another. To be there, to build each other up, encourage one another, exhort one another. And if necessary, then we correct one another. Now, I've listened to a preacher for a long time who has said, I remember him even from when I was a kid, he would make the comment, I've heard variations of this throughout the years, if there's something I say that is unscriptural, then you would demonstrate just how much you truly love me by coming to correct me and making sure that what we say is right at all times. Because what you would demonstrate is a love for my soul that you want me to go to heaven. You see, we should have that desire for one another at all times. If we see somebody slipping from the faith, we need to stand up and say something. We need to be bold. We need to show and demonstrate love in everything that we do. Brethren, tonight I would ask you to think about your fellow ambassadors? Are we doing everything in our power to build them up, encourage them, and make them stronger in the Lord so that they can spend eternity in heaven? Or are there things that we need to make sure that we work on? Are there things in our own lives that we perhaps need help with? Are there things that maybe we're lacking in that we need our fellow ambassadors to help us out? Our brothers and sisters in Christ are always willing to help. And if we can help you in any way tonight, whether that's to become a child of God, to put Christ on in baptism where his blood washes away your sin, or as a child of God, if you need some help in your life and things that, even if it's just the prayers of the church, if we can help you in any way, we'd ask you to come now as together we stand and sing the song. It's been selected.